Coming up in this episode... In this book, the Earth is not destroyed. The alien kind of just plops down.
Plops down. Life is hard. Like, there are disagreements. But you can't do anything about that stuff unless you actually talk to each other.
So in essence, it seems like Van Jensen is writing a story about America's rural-urban divide?
Oh, yeah. That is exactly what's happening here.
This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections, hosted by two of your favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts of All Things Considered on GPB Radio. I'm Orlando Montoya.
And I'm Peter Biello. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind the stories mixed with our own thoughts and ideas on just what gives these works the narrative edge.
All right, Peter, it's great to be in the studio with you. What do you have today?
We've got another novel. We had a novel last time after a few works of nonfiction, so nice to get back into the completely made-up world this time around. This novel is called Godfall by Van Jensen, who lives in Atlanta, and he's really known for his comic books.
And is this his first work of fiction?
This is his first novel, and it's actually being made into a television show, so not bad for a first novel. It's slated to be directed by Ron Howard, too.
So he's got this TV show coming from the novel Godfall.
Yeah, and this book, it's got a very strange premise. And I say strange in the best possible way, right? This book is set in a small Nebraska town called Little Springs, and a 3-mile-long dead alien body falls out of the sky and sets down softly in Little Springs.
Dead alien, like from outer space, dead alien?
From outer space, okay. Right. Just kind of falls. So for a brief period at the start of the book, before the alien falls, everyone can kind of see it coming. Everyone thinks this giant thing is about to collide with the Earth and it's going to cause another mass extinction. Like that movie Don't Look Up, right? I don't know if you know that movie. Essentially, a meteor is coming to Earth in like 6 months' time or something like that. I generally love those kinds of stories where the Earth is going to be destroyed. But this, in this book, the Earth is not destroyed. The alien kind of just... Plops down. Yeah, and propels most of the action of the book. So now it's there. It fell in the flattest landscape possible. And actually, the image of the alien in the distance creating a kind of creepy mountain range was a starting point for Jensen.
What I saw in my mind's eye is like this unbroken horizon that all of a sudden has this very artificial, very unnatural, very frightening mountain range. And the, you know, the plot, the story of it is just really was me like thought experimenting, like what would happen? Where would this go? And really it, what I think gave me the passion to keep going is it's very much based on my hometown and where I grew up and the experience of this place. And so I hadn't written about that place before.
And so this is a giant alien? It's like the size of a mountain range?
Yeah, it's a huge alien. It's got this spire sticking out of its chest. So that kind of gives you an indication that maybe it was killed by something, though they really don't get into the details of how the alien was killed. It just kind of, there it is all of a sudden. And the people in this town have to deal with it, particularly the main character, a guy named David Blunt. He's the sheriff of Little Springs. And the action starts months and months after the alien lands. After that first sequence, of course, when we see the alien coming, kind of jumps ahead a few months. The alien's there. The town has changed. Little Springs is transformed because the government shows up, creates something like an Area 51-esque lab around the alien. A cult comes to town and starts a kind of religious movement around the alien.
All the freakazoids are showing up.
The freakazoids show up. and I didn't mention the alien is made of crystals. I didn't mention that, did I?
You did not mention anything about crystals.
Okay, alien is made of crystals, which kind of makes you wonder, like, okay, that's how it landed, right? If it was made of soft tissue, it might have, like, exploded on contact. But it's made of crystals. And these crystals can send you on a trippy experience, almost like taking mushrooms, it seems. The cult... they wear tiger masks, so they're called Tonys, like Tony the Tiger.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know. It's great. Like, they like doing these crystals, right? They reach a higher plane of existence with these things. And Little Springs is no longer small, and it's changing quite a bit.
How is the town changing?
And there are these graphic murders happening. That's a change.
Okay. This is a lot happening because of the alien.
Yeah, the murders are connected to the alien, for sure. But the way the town is changing really hits Sheriff David Blunt pretty hard. I mean, he grew up in this rural environment. The physical landscape is changing because of the alien. because of the people drawn to the alien as well. And David begins to see the world as kind of an us and them, the rural people who've been townies forever, and the newcomers. And this way of viewing the world prevents him from admitting to himself that the killer could possibly be one of the townies that David identifies with.
So they're just accepting this alien.
Oh, yeah. The alien is just, it's there. It's too big to move. For the most part, there's no discussion about the alien actually, like, being removed or anything like that. It's a mountain range, essentially.
Okay. So in essence, it seems like Van Jensen is writing a story about America's rural-urban divide?
Oh, yeah. That is exactly what's happening here.
I'm a product of a small town. I love rural America. At the same time, I've lived in cities for effectively all of my adult life, and I love cities. But we're at a time, I think, in this country where those two sides do not interact with each other. Or if they do, it's just like insults hurled each way. Like, and I think there's a ton of misunderstanding, but mostly there's just no interaction. And so I just thought, wouldn't it be fascinating to write a book that's a murder mystery, but is also this like forced integration of urban and rural life, like these people having to figure out how to talk to each other, like how to, because I mean, life is hard. Like there are disagreements, but you can't do anything about that stuff unless you actually talk to each other.
So he's writing about something that's just completely outlandish, a giant alien just falling out of the sky. Does he make it believable?
I think he does. I mean, he's doing what authors do when they want to get readers to buy into a completely unbelievable premise. He introduces it early in the story. That way, you as a reader decide right away whether or not you're going to stick with this narrative, if you're willing to suspend disbelief. I mean, Kafka's Metamorphosis, you might remember that story from high school or college, right? It's the most obvious example. It starts with, as Gregor Samsa awoke one morning from uneasy dreams, he found himself transformed in his bed into a giant insect. Like, that's sentence number one. And if you don't buy that, the rest of the story is just not going to work for you. And that's kind of what Jensen did here.
It's like this alien is just sort of part of the ambiance of the whole scene.
It's there now. You're going to have to deal with it, townspeople of Little Springs.
Well, I'm sure he appreciates the comparison to Kafka.
You know, if I were him, I would take it as a compliment. But listen, the rest of this book seemed plausible to me as well. I mean, I think it's hard to write plausibly about law enforcement unless you know a lot about it. And Jensen does. He was a crime reporter in Arkansas for a time. And we talked about that experience. And he said he felt a bit conflicted about it.
Like something horrific happens and you get this amazing front page story and you feel great about, oh, I got on the front page. And you're like, oh, yeah, but like two people died. But with the police, you know, I definitely experienced like they're a great police. There are people who really care, who really try hard, who are super invested in the community, who want to be good people. There are struggles against just like the system that they work within. And there are also bad cops. And they do incredible amounts of damage. And so I got to see all of that.
And in the novel, is Sheriff David Blunt a good cop or a bad cop?
He's definitely a good cop. He's on the right side of things, but he's not perfect. He was there to keep the peace. You could see that he was not above bending the rules to serve his community. That's his belief, serve his community. He's not bending the rules to serve some kind of narrow self-interest. And Van Jensen manages to humanize him in part because Blunt was based more on Jensen's own father than any cop he'd met while serving as a reporter.
My dad, he, you know, not a cop. He's a dentist. He retired as a dentist. From childhood, his dream, and he grew up in the same town, his dream was to be the dentist in this town. Mm-hmm. And then he grew up and he did exactly that. And like, he loves this town. Like, he wants it. I mean, his family has been part of it forever. He wants it to continue to be the thing that it is. And he does, you know, just all these incredible things all the time to enrich the community around him. And so that was really the seed of like, anytime I was like, oh, what, like, how would David look at this? I was like, okay, here's what my dad would do.
So a dentist served as a model for a sheriff.
Yeah. Probably a first time for that, but yeah. And I will say David too has his own trauma, you know, a tornado in his past caused some damage to his family. And so he's a wounded man. He's a silent, strong type in some ways, which is, you know, a characteristic of a sheriff, but also He's got real feelings, too, and that kind of helps you connect with him as a reader.
And so let's talk about some of the good points of the book. What are the book's characteristics that give it the narrative edge?
I would say the primary one is that the story's really tight. It doesn't get bogged down in the sci-fi details about the alien. It could have, and it left me wanting more, which I think is a good thing. Like, I'm going to have questions, and if those questions aren't relevant to the themes of the book, then the answers, as far as I'm concerned, are none of my damn business. And I'm so glad Jensen kind of resisted the urge to explain things that are just obvious mysteries here.
Fill in all, he's not filling in all the holes. Because I have like 10,000 questions right now about the alien.
Yeah.
And you're saying if I asked you them right now, you would not know.
There's a lot of them you don't know. I mean, you don't know why the alien was dead when it landed, but it's not relevant. It doesn't matter. What matters is that the dead alien lands in Little Springs, and that's it.
Not even why it set down so softly instead of just slamming down?
You know, that's such a convenient thing, right? If it slammed down, there would be no Earth. He had to slow it down for the sake of the story. But that's one of the unbelievable things that you just have to buy at the beginning of the book. It's Gregor Samsa waking up as a cockroach. The dead alien lands softly in Little Springs. Suspend disbelief right away.
And so the narrative edge is?
So, yeah, the narrative edge comes from the way I think the transformation of David Blunt is tied up into the action of the book, which is the main action of the book is, of course, solving these murders, which didn't even get into how like grisly they are. It's all tied up to the theme, the ability to cope with a changing community in a changing society. The world is changing. And it seems like the lesson we learned from Sheriff Blunt's experiences were we'd be wise to adjust to the new reality rather than fight it.
I mean, he could have chosen anything to put into a small community, you know, a Walmart or,
right.
You know, something. I mean, there's lots of things that change communities. And
yeah, and you could use sort of the alien's magical crystal qualities or the sheer strangeness and the draw that has to certain people as a metaphor for the changes a Walmart could bring, you know? I think this is less sci-fi than we've made it out to be because it has a sci-fi premise, but there is some romance in it, there is some family dynamics in it, and there's the struggle, I think, in watching David Blunt get over his personal biases and adjust to the reality he's now living in.
All right. Well, we talked about talking statues last week, and today it's Alien, so I'm looking forward to more. The book is Godfall by Van Jensen. And a reminder to our listeners that our conversations with the authors that you learn about on this podcast are available at gpb.org.
And this one also has our conversation on camera in GPB Studios.
Very cool. You can find Peter's full conversation with Van Jensen at gpb.org. Peter, thanks very much.
Thank you, Orlando.
Thanks for listening to Narrative Edge. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. This podcast is a production of Georgia Public Broadcasting. Find us online at gpb.org/narrativeedge.
You can also catch us on the daily GPB news podcast, Georgia Today, for a concise update on the latest news in Georgia. For more on that and all of our podcasts, go to gpb.org/podcasts.